Are these going on the website?
So if you give me all of them, I'll put them on the website.
I'll put them in Yeshiva. I'll put them on the Sefer. I'll put it in Yeshiva. I don't know.
In Yeshiva's website or the other one?
I should put them on TorahLectures.com. Already put them
on. Because of Mordechai. Okay, so if you put it on a separate folder, well, Hanukkah can stand alone, but you can put it on the... Hanukkah really stands alone, but you put it under
did you say
the other ones. What?
Didn't Rosenblum want it or something like that? Rosenblum.
Jonathan also wanted it. Matt wanted it. Whatever. I got two old files.
I sent a bunch.
Did you send two, and one was like a small one, like a few kilobytes? Something was wrong. I'll look at it. Let's start a little bit.
Okay, so you give Likim. That's what I should call it.
Yes, you give Likim, yes. Okay, unless you have another name to suggest. Okay, Vayisod HaSheni. So the first Yisod was the Yisod of the Etzem Yitzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second one is the unity of Hashem, or the oneness of God. Or better said, the exclusivity of God. Yichud HaShem Yisbar. The Yisod HaSheni is Yichud HaShem Yisbar. Kloma. Shenamin. Shezeshu Sibas HaKol. We must believe that the property of the one who is that cause, that primary cause that we spoke about, is one. That's the only property that we have a chiyuv really to believe in a certain sense. Everything else follows by reasoning, that he's all powerful, all this, all that, but we have to believe that he's one. And I guess we're going to speak about a whole bunch of things about it. First of all, why is it so important? It's true that Hashem is one, and as opposed to Christians who have a trinity, as opposed to Persians who have two gods, as opposed to those who have many gods, but it seems like a sort of dry theological issue about how many gods there are. It doesn't seem to be, we could understand to believe God is good, God is kind, God is powerful. God is one as opposed to two, as opposed to three, as opposed to many. It seems like a very, very abstract, unimportant theological discussion. Nothing of consequence, really. And it's the only description that's central. In other words, we say that when Maimon Buna Shlema in HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zachduso, the people that were most in Nefesh are Yichudo Yisparach, in Kabbalah, the avoda of mitzvahs is called being miyachad yichudim, and trying to get a sense of what that means. Why is this so crucial? Now, what does it mean? He's one. So he says, ve'einu ke'echad hazug, ve'einu ke'echad hamin. He says we can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one of parts, like we say one family, which means a husband, a wife. Used to be that at least. Kids and so on. That one is not right. V'loy ke'echad hamin, and not one of a kind, but there's a possibility. If I say there's one owl left over, so there's only, let's say I say there's one owl left. That means there is physically one, but it's one of a kind. And there's a species that's really in potential a bigger umbrella. V'loy ke'isha echad hamurkav shunechlag lachodim rabim. Not even like a human being who has many limbs and it's one, but you can subdivide it. V'loy echad k'mar guf ha'poshur echad b'minyan shemekav lachiluk v'apreda le'in soif. You also can't describe it as one, but that can be subdivided. Like if you take a chunk of gold, it's not made of parts, but it can be subdivided infinitely. It's a type of unity that we don't have any sense of that. So the pasuk that we say to be mekabel malchus shemayim, to affirm a belief, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's achdus. And we'll try to understand a little bit each and every one of these chilukim, what they are, what they represent. I want to go to the Rambam in Halacha, where he speaks more by Rikos on it. Let's go to the Rambam. Really, very, very fundamental. It's Halacha Zayin. Elokai Ze, this God, Echad Hu, is one. Eino lo shnayim, he's not two. V'lo yes al shnayim, he's not more than two. Ela echad she'en ki yichudai, echad min achadim zuelo. There's nothing else that is, when we describe as unique, which would fit the same description. And now he goes to examples. Very similar to what he said here. Loi ke echad b'min, shu'kolu l'achadim harbe. It's not like owls, where there are many of owls. V'loi echad ki guf, shu'nechal machal sovis. And not one like a body, which can be subdivided into different elements, different components. Elo yichud shein yichud afkam esabayla. Now, the Rambam proves two points. It's very interesting. The Rambam is going to prove it logically from a different corollary of a different point. And we'll see in a second why it's interesting.
Is this like how you describe Rav Hashem? The only way you can describe Rav Hashem is as Rav Hashem. Is this the same thing? Achdus, the only way you can describe this Achdus is as Achdus.
Well, it does. Let's jump the gun a second. What the Maral says in a place, and I think it's just a more apt description, that there it means there is nothing but God. In other words, we can't find anything ever anywhere that we can say it stands apart from God, except as a Ratzon. It's sort of a hemshach of what he said before. He said everything in the world exists as such. Nothing else can exist outside of God. Let's give, once on the topic, let's give two examples which are going to be very relevant. So we're not talking only about how many gods there are, but the Maral says more sharply, there is no other but God. Let's give two examples. One example is, let's take a law of nature that we feel is very basic, the conservation of matter and energy, which, again, today is a little on the shaky side, but for us, it's a very, very fundamental law, and it stands. Now, is God bound by that law? If we can't imagine, if somebody comes to the patent office and tries to patent something that is perpetual motion, then it's automatically rejected, because it's just something that is an impossibility. It's not something difficult to make, it's impossible. So can God, you know, is God bound by the law? Meaning that if we say yes, there is something other than God. There are laws of nature so fundamental that God is bound by it. That's one area. A second area, even more relevant, really is, what about things that to us are axiomatically moral? Is God, you know, good and bad, and at a most fundamental level, do they precede God? In other words, would God be bad if he would say, well, how about stealing from each other or killing each other? So, if you feel that Hashem is bound to something else, you're saying there are laws, they stand apart from God, except that God is the best citizen, and he always does what's good. But the things that are good stand. Those are two examples of things that are actually, you know, when people talk about these things, they make this mistake. And I will talk more about specifically each one, because these are really important points. Each one of these are very important in terms of what can be, what can't be done. But I just want to finish that law. Yeah.
Hashem can create the law, so they get included.
So I think, but that's something. But that's something that's not popular. People don't feel it that way. People don't think it that way. People say, well, how could God say do this and that? The same way you tell a Muslim, how can you believe in Islam when it's all about Ritzicha and this and that? And this person says, well, inshallah, you know, that's what Allah wants. You, on the one hand, you're using that as an argument why it's a crazy religion, you shouldn't believe it. But on the other hand, you're believing that Hashem could supersede it. It's going to be an issue, something that we do have to deal with. But al kapanim, these are two areas of something that are that fall under the problem of achdus versus not achdus and so on.
Doesn't that assume that there's something called nature?
Well, it's more than that. The question is, are there parts of nature that are, for instance, that gravity pulls at something with a certain speed seems to us a mikra. Gravity could be constructed differently. It happens to be constructed that way. But the idea of conservation of energy and matter seems to us a metzius. We don't have a way of imagining a world where things just happen without, you know, coming from someplace, and that you can keep burning a fire and nothing goes out. Those are things that just we can't imagine, and there's a tendency to put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same box. But in effect, what you're doing is, so you're saying there is an other reality to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, there's something else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, let's go slowly. There's a lot of, in Achdus, there's a lot of detail. So, now, the Rambam has a proof for it. The Rambam proof goes like this. Ilohoisa Elohus Harbe. Let's say you'd have many gods. Hayu gufin ugviyos, they would be bodies. Why? Mipnei she'ein hanimnin hashovin b'mitziyoson, v'frodim zemizeh, elo b'mayroin she'oru hagufis v'gviyos. Because things that are alike can only be distinguished when you have some physical attribute. Let's talk about this point. Let's finish his line, then we'll talk about it. Ve'ilu hoya yoitze gufa gvia, hoya lokeitze tachlis, and if the creator was a body, he would have some end, some sof. She efshe lios guf she'en lokeitze, because you can't have a body that's not bounded. Ve'kol she'en lokeitze v'tachlis, yesh lekoh lokeitze v'sof. And anything which has a boundaries, its abilities are limited. Ve'alokeinu baruch shmoi, hoil v'kocha in leketz, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since he's an endless amount of power, ability, ve'eino polse, sh'agal gosov v'tomid, eino kocha kocha guf. So it's not the power of a body. Ve'hol ve'eino guf, and if it's not a body, lo yo'oru moroz ha'gufos k'shenechak v'nifrak mechad. Let's follow his line of reasoning. He's saying like this. If I distinguish two people, if I distinguish two entities, then I say this is a cup, and it has a containing part to it, and it's tall, and this is a spoon, and this looks like this, like this. If I have two cups, how do I distinguish them? Well, this one is standing in this place, and this one's standing in that place. If I had a cup yesterday here and a cup here, well, I say this cup was here, is here from now till whatever, half hour from now, and the other cup was here a day ago from 8:30. So the way in which, but if I say there are two cups, they look exactly the same, they have all the same physical properties, they occupy the same physical space at the same physical time, then I'm playing a game. Then it's the same cup. You know, a brisket could say this cup has two dinim, but upon you need a brisket cup for that. But in my days, they used to say, I don't know if you see, Lipton is brisk tea. Mm-hmm. Right. So they used to say that the Shiva joke was, why is it brisk tea? Because there's two sides every tea bag. You know, it has that was the old Yeshiva joke on it. But I need to distinguish things by giving it some limit. I can't, if I say, for instance, let's take something that we feel is universal, the law of gravity. So there are no two laws of gravity, because where does one end and where does one begin? If I can't give it any gather and any gvul and any type of description, then I can't make two out of it. So if I were to say there are two gods, that would mean automatically that it has a limit to it. It's an entity, it's a finite entity, and it's a Baal Guf, and it could not be the infinite motor of the universe if it was a finite entity. So the Rambam says, if it's more than one, then you've already defined it as being finite, and we see it as something which is infinite, and therefore it's impossible. That's his. So he sees it as an extension of his first description of Kadosh Baruch Hu as being infinite, and his koach being a koach without gavul, also without a guf. Sorry, yes.
What does he mean by Sharei Hagalgal Sovik?
Okay, now
the engine of the universe that you meant, or is that
the Rambam? The Rambam means it's very interesting. The Rambam is going with Aristotelian model of what the world looks like, that for something to be in motion, there has to be a cause. And as far as we're concerned, we see the planets are always in motion, no let up in the speed, and there must be something turning it. So there's an infinite source of power turning it. It's very interesting. I think that Barbanel, if not mistaken, maybe the Ikrim, I don't remember, they say by Moshe Rabbeinu, in the last part, when he saw Vasneh Enenu Ukal, that the snare is not being consumed, he says it was, what it meant was, Moshe Rabbeinu heard the universe. The universe is constantly exhausting energy, and it's still standing. I mean, he sort of predated the ecological movement, and he said, if the universe is infinite, it's been always around. Why isn't all the energy expended? Why isn't all gone already? That's the pshat. Said it was Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Eish. He says it was he deheard the entire universe. It's an endless source of energy. We today look at it differently. This point that Rambam is right, Rambam is something we have a hard time relating to. We understand motion as being constant and so on and so forth, and it doesn't, unless you have acceleration, it doesn't need anything to keep it in motion. But that's the Rambam's proof. So the Rambam, interestingly enough, puts into halacha logical proof, because at the end of the day, it's a pasuk. Lefikach yefshash yalecha v'yediyas dava zeh mitzvahs esei. And knowing this is a mitzvah essay. In other words, the harigat, however you learn Yiddi in the first one, Shenema Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So this is the Yiddi of Asher Kedosh Shem Echad. He then goes on to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu not being a Baal Guf. That's his next one. But the Rambam's oneness of Hashem comes from his understanding that you can't limit HaKadosh Baruch Hu and because then everything is limited and so on.
But one doesn't yes. limit?
What?
Isn't one a limiting factor?
So one doesn't... So that's what it means. It means one in the sense, no other. I want to apply the Ramchal over here. He speaks about this, and he says a point that I think clarifies it a lot also. Ramchal asks, why is it that the one title of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's so important is Hashem's oneness? Why is that the one we hop on and so on and so forth? So he says like this. We can't ever have a direct sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerful. We don't have any sense of how powerful he is. He's wise, powerful. There's nothing we could say in our language that's not going to be full. It's just not going to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To use negatives and say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not weak, not stupid, not this, not that, is also... It doesn't get you anywhere, because that doesn't. When I say somebody's not stupid, it doesn't say that he's all that much smart. Depends what tone of voice I use. It depends, you know, and so on. There's an Ebenezer in Kohelet. It's a long Ebenezer who goes to town on all the pidutim that are very difficult and contorted and so on. He was very, very fire against it. The Ebenezer has a clean Hebrew, and he said all the tefillahs that Hashem said when Masada were in beautiful Hebrew, clear, and you don't need to understand it. It just reads, so he gave an example of a piyut. He tears the pieces, and I don't know if it's a real piyut or he's mocking, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as low something, not something. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, whatever it is. He said, well, once we're describing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, we could call him Loipil, the non-elephant, because you're going to agree with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an elephant. So what am I saying that he's not this, Loi this, you know, and so on. But Loi, so he's saying like this. So Ramchal says we can't describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in any positive way, we can't describe him with the negative. The only thing we can describe is as follows. Just like logically, if there are 25 possibilities and I eliminate 24, then I have proven the 25th. If I eliminate other possibilities, in other words, I look around the world and the world seems to have a lot of gods. That there's the god of refuah and the god of war and the god of money and the god of this and the god of that. And you know, we tend to think that this does this, this does this, does that. And I say, no, this is not what does it, this is not what does it, what does it. By painting everything around it, I bring out HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness is brought out by eliminating the things that might have posed an alternative. So the reason why Achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the important, it's the only thing that we can actually be over HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because we can define it by negating what's in our world, and then we have a real understanding. In other words, what it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one is there are no other viable entities. Everything else is a shliach, everything else is constant, and so on and so forth.
So where is this from, Chaim?
It's in Das Tvunis, somewhere in the beginning, towards the beginning of Das Tvunis. So we have the Achdus part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says it comes from a logical extension of being infinite. There is nothing, by definition, a physical entity must be defined in some way. And even non-physical, even Malach, he says, is defined. Malach refers to the fact that he does refuah. Malach reveals the fact that he does din and so on. And that would be a steer at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's endlessness, and so on. I'd like to run through another proof, so to speak. Not proof, but I guess a description of how we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus. He mentions a little bit, there's a remnant, I think, in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Whenever I have two of something, Bal Karchach, these are examples of a klal that's bigger than it. In other words, when I see two animals, I recognize that there's a class that these are subdivisions of. Adam, for instance, the Maral speaks about Adam. He says every person was created, a person was created yechidi, because it's not, we are not examples of the species of Adam. Every person is unique in his metzias. A behema, the metzias of a cow is beef and milk. So it's a question of quantity. This is one cow, this is 10 cows, 100 cows. If a person was flesh and blood, and that's it would be the same thing. In the term, each person is das, is what's kovered a person, and therefore, every single person is a unique entity. Physically, biologically, we're all examples of human beings. But in terms of Deya, in terms of our Tochen, we are unique. So had, if there are two gods, then there's a third klal. It must be that there is something more simple. Just like in science, there's an intuitive sense that all the laws boil down to more simpler laws and more simpler laws until you want to get to one law. And somehow along the line, there's no riot to it, but everybody intuitively feels if there are two types of forces, there must be one common denominator. Somehow we have a sense that everything comes with one nekuda. So if there will be two gods, if there are two generals, there must be somebody on top of it where it's coming from. That's our inherent sense of things. So we haven't found the emes. If we find two of it, then these are examples of. These are not the root of it all. I mean, that's built into us, this sense of yichud nechtus. I want to go back in the Rambam itself and just define two more things that are important. The Rambam says, Loi echad kimin shukoy lachodim harbei, V'loy echad kiguf shu nechlok umachlokos v'ktzavis. Ela yichud shen yichud achad kamoysev oilam. This inyan We'll talk about this, the second one first. V'loy echot ki guf shu nechlach tu machlokois v'ktsavois. In HaKadosh, one of the issues we have with defining HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhagis is that we seem to come out at the end with a split personality. In other words, there's the God that does justice and the God who has mercy. For us, for instance, when we deal with a person in different moods, we say like this, oh, he's really a good person. It's just when he gets angry, he gets carried away. So what I'm really saying is there are two personality types that fit the person. And when he gets angry, he gets carried away. And when and normally he's in a good mode. And there's a chashash that if we were to say that about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then what we're saying in effect is he's a composite of different personalities, like we are. And that would be kfirah. The better muscle would be, let's take a very good teacher. So a teacher who is in total control of himself and of the class, and he has a whole bunch of tools at his disposal. The tool of warmth, the tool of ignoring, the tool of yelling, but he's emotionally never carried away. So what I'm saying in effect is this person's mindset is Kulo, I mean, he's not changed. He's a teacher. He is a teacher. And teachers use different rules. Sometimes they use this personality, this medium, this medium, that medium. As opposed to a person who had different personalities. And you say, you know, when he's in an angry mood, he's in an angry mood. Stay away. But what I mean to say is he's not the good person anymore. Of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos and hanhagos, which we talk about a lot, Hashem Hashem kel rachum v'chanan er hapayim, there is a type of sense that the person has different aspects himself. And we can say that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom. That's a very important element, and maybe we'll speak at a future point. The Mekubalim ran into trouble, people questioned they're labeling different Hanhagos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It also means that just like his Hanhagos are all part of one picture, and it's one Hanhaga, and that Hanhaga is to develop people to their potential. And there are many tools that need to be used because people need many types of approaches. That's one way of looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. It means that everything is going towards one goal. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has only one goal in mind, and therefore everything must go with that mahalach. That's the way these things are. There's another way in which this is expressed even more subtly. The Tanya brings it, and he says that the Rambam was mechavin to the Mekubalim. And for those of you on Nisach Sfaradidin, There's the Pasuk Al Yo, and it says, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has midas, and an chokim v'loy b'chokhma yediyas. You are a chokim, but you don't know through chokhma. What it means is as follows. And the Rambam says it, he's the Yodea, v'ha Yaduav, and v'ha Mada. The Tanya quotes him, and he says, this is one of the places where the Rambam and the Kabbalim both said it, you know, same thing in different language. For us, Chachma is an entity apart from ourself. Laharaya, sometimes we can act very stupidly. Sometimes, even when a person, God forbid, loses his Chachma, a person is sick, we still look at him as a person. Because even though when a person is in normal mode, the Chachma seems to be him and the Chachma is sort of one and the same, but it's not true. It's a tool, and sometimes we use Chachma, sometimes we don't use Chachma. So Chachma is really a limb, so to speak, not self. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't work like that. He and his attributes are one and the same, which is, again, something that we can't imagine. It's not something we can translate to in our language. The only thing we know about it to be true is that you can't say, well, this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mood, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah, and that's why there's a reluctance to you know, Midas Harachmim and Skalgala in different places where Midas were mentioned to speak to any of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas and so on. So the internal division that we're speaking about is obviously we're not talking about hands and feet, but we're talking about the Hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The different HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals in a huge range of Hanhagas. The Torah speaks about it. Hashem Yischak Yilaglomo. So we have Schoik, we have Pen Yechre Vapo, and Yala Oshin Vapo, and Kas, and Astiponai, and there's a huge slew of different things. We need to understand that it's one in its Shorish, and it's many to us. It's hard to think of Mishalim for that. I mean, it's hard because we don't have that experience. But we can. I mean, a simple one is when you have different people listening to the same thing, and different people heard different things. Different people interpreted differently. For some people, they were insulted. Some people were, sobered. Some people were delighted. The same words that the person said produce different things. The general understanding of all these things is that mitzad the mekablim, all the changes that we have, the sense of it being different is mitzad the mekabel.
I always thought the marshal was always light.
Light splitting in is
splitting into color.
Correct. But it's something which is that is really that mashal is that the source. It's a combination of many things, and we're trying hard to stay away from it. I know the mashal of the light. I was trying hard to stay away.
Okay.
Yeah, but what you
hard to bring it up?
No. because what that experiment shows is that white light is really a combination of many lights, and it's a I think the Malbim says it actually about Yecheskel. He says he saw on the Kisei, he saw like a light on a day of rain. So he says it means a rainbow in the fact that you have one light which consists of many lights, and he uses that mashal actually. He does use it to describe it. But I'm saying we're trying to drive home that it's one thing, and it's because of the mekablim that we have different senses of it. Al-Kapadim. So let's just sum up. The second the yisod is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's achdus. The achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means, the Rambam says both in Halacha and in Pirush HaRashayis, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, it's not a confederation of parts. It's not one with the possibility of another. It just happens to be one. It's not one organism that can be subdivided, whether by cutting it, whether by analyzing components. And the Rambam's reasoning behind it, the Torah describes it as Hashem Echad, so we know it because of that. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu as described. It also logically, it follows from God's being infinite. If you have two, it can't be infinite because each one has its own definition. Each one is defined by something. The power that we're looking at in the world is there's an infinite continuous power in the world, so the Shorish must be the infinite, and by the minute we define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we define it as less than infinite. I wanted to add another Hesper, that whenever we don't accept the idea that two is the final is the final emes in anything. Intuitively, we accept two is an example of one. It means these must be like, I mean, all the science is built on it. Science could be, I could make a million laws of science. Apples fall and oranges fall and rocks go very slowly when you throw them upwards and go very fast when you throw them downwards. But all of them boil down to one equation. I intuitively feel all equations boil to one because Metzius is one, and anything that's two are examples of something in common. And so that's another way of understanding it. In terms of Emuna, we'll touch more about it. It's when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anhagas, we can't ever define HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a particular anhaga. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a Rachamun in the sense that we are defined by a mood. Kadosh Baruch Hu uses Rachamim the way the perfect teacher would use a certain tool. You know, I used to have a Rebbe, in my mind was the model of the perfect Rebbe. He was an extraordinary person. He was both incredibly wise and incredibly Tahar and Kadosh, a very rare combination of two minutes like that. And when he would yell at a Bacha, you know, he was always measured, he was always thought out. But like, I remember he would say, you know, if I was the type of to yell, I would say, are you talking to a Bacha like you, who's this and that, da, 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 da. And he would say it with enough tone of what he wanted to say, and enough tone, but I'm only kidding. And then when he finished his the monologue, he'd say, but what can I do? I'm just not the type of rabbi to say I get Bacha. But it was effective because, you know, he didn't lose himself. You always got the feeling that, you know, there was a decision there about what to do, and it came from the same seichel that, you know, that any other hanhaga. And then we'll speak. I also want to speak more about where it's nogea in our voter, in the bigger picture of our voter. There's a lot, obviously this is by the fact that Shema Yisrael Shalkei Hashem Echad is affirms this. That's probably the most important chelik, the crux of our voter. Hashem, I want to talk more about these things. There's quite a bit that we want to cover here. Okay. Yeah. I guess we don't have a minion.
No, maybe I can get.
We can
get a
minion.
Hold on.
Is it?
Some more, right?
What about the guy picking you up,
Brandon? And my wife is actually picking me up, and she'll be at 9:30.
We don't count women here.
Well, no, he said the guy, so.
Forget about having two gods or two.
Right.
If we exist, isn't that also a sphere of adaptus? It's not just, ultimately we are a part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but we have the God, we have everyone, all this, they're independent, they're living, so isn't that a sphere to the total Achdus?
We'll see later, the Achdus of the world as it stands today is a sphere to Achdus, that's correct. The fact that every person is an arrowhead in a different direction. It says, Lo Sid Lovoy, Akash Kol Kolo Safa Brura, and all the Amim will keep Torah. They will all be headed to the same Tachlis. That's the Achdus. The world will fall in line as one organism with many parts. So the Achdus of Akash Kol will stamp itself on the world in that sense, that it will be seen where everything is a piece of one entity. Moral says that.
But that's different than.
Different than Hashem, but at least parallel to Hashem. The Moral says that he raises the question of how from one could many emanate. And he has three or four different roots in different places. And one of them is that Tzuras Adam is the Ma'achar Rebriya. In other words, when it says Redu Arts or Kivshuha, so that means man has the ability to take all the pieces and make one. Every animal lives in its own climate, its own zone, and does its own thing. Man is the only thing that really could be shouldered in everything. So he takes the cow and milks it, and takes the ox and plants, and he's shouldered in everything. He's the one that can bring the Bria together. So Adam is a parallel copy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in imposing Achdus on the Bria. That's his mission, and in a physical sense, and in a ruchnistic sense. Man has the whole picture. Man is kolal everything. We'll speak about it more, Mitzvah. That's what I'm saying. It's more. This yisod is more than just a yisod, a theological yisod about Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a picture on what the whole world looks like.
That's why he's come as a kufa, I think, right?
Adam. Yeah.
Adam is the only one that's come as a kufa.
It goes from the top down. But he speaks about Adam. Yirmiyahu has three or four different ways in which he approaches it, different places. But Adam as being the, and it says in Lasid Lavo, the fact that everyone will come round, that the Amim will serve Klal Yisrael, the godless of that is not that we'll have a lot of free help and it'll be legal. The godless of that is that every Bria will understand I need to be part of that picture. So if Ploini Amari is Osik Navodas Hashem, I help him Osik Hashem, that's how I become part of the picture. That's what the tachlis of that is. We have
a minute.
I think we need two more. What is it? That's a mistake. It doesn't mean it's a part of Hashem. It means it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's chelik in the Bria. Like, zech, you know, chelkoi and, you know, Kaiser's chelik nachlosoi. It's his lach. That's really what it should mean. I know people ask it. It means that we are the tachlis.
Partners, or like, is it
the tachlis is the best one. Do we have? If not, I can still make this. I can go to Agoda or whatever.
Yeah, there's no one without me. Okay. It's 9:30. Yeah, go to Greece, it's 9:30.
Okay, so let me call my wife and I'll tell
her.
What?
She's outside.
Ah, she's outside? So, you know, I can still make this.